The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show Hour 1 Podcast.
And we say hello to you on one of the great days of the spring for us, the day we get to celebrate camaraderie in golf and helping young children from Regions Tradition Pro-Am, Greystone Golf and Country Club in Hoover, Alabama. We say hello to you on what is always a momentous day when we get to talk to so many celebrities, and they are racked up like planes at rush hour at Hartsfield International. And speaking of that, we will not waste this man's time because he has too many other things to do and too much fun to be had. We say hello to you and a lot to do. And Charles Barkley starts it off. I mean, can you get any better than the governor of Alabama? Charles, how are you? Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, thanks for having me, man. It was a great day down here in Birmingham. And, man, thank you for having me.
Well, I've had the pleasure and the honor of playing golf with you a number of times, and I've not to make too much out of golf because we all know how important that is, but it looks like you really got shocked some people out there with your game today.
You know, Paul, I've gotten a lot better. I want to give a shout out to my coach Stan Utley. My friends call him Mr. Miyagi from the Karate Kid. I've really worked hard on my game the last 2 years since I met Stan. He's been a godsend, and I played pretty good today. I've been playing well for months now, but shout out to my coach, Stan Utley. He's been unbelievable.
Well, that's great. Well, it's so good to see you and talk to you. Let's start with just your life right now. I know we're deep into the NBA season. It seems like the last season just ended. I'm sure that is a bewildering line of work for you right now with the bumping basketball season. How is everything for you?
Well, Paul, it's kind of interesting because I think it's going to be really exciting, and I'm not just saying that. I have no idea who's going to win the championship. I got no idea who's going to win the Eastern Conference or the Western Conference. So it's been a long time since I've been able to say that. So I cannot wait. We got about 3 weeks before the playoffs start. But right now, if you look at the East, Brooklyn, Philadelphia, Milwaukee, I got no idea who's going to win that. And the West, I have no idea who's going to win the West. I'm not sure if the Lakers are going to have to be in the playoff games, but it's going to be exciting. So I can't wait for about 3 weeks from now when we get started.
Charles, before we move to things closer to home, I know how dear your family is and your daughter, because you've been able to tell so many great stories about any young man who dared to cross the line. But I read not long ago about your young daughter getting married, and mazel tov, by the way. tell us about that experience, because her husband is not exactly the traditionals we would have thought to marry into the Barkley family.
You know, Paul, it was the greatest day of my life, walking her down the aisle. You know, I only got one kid, so it made it even more special. It was my daughter, obviously. Walking her down the aisle was the greatest day of my life. And I didn't cry walking her down the aisle, but when we did Zach Brown, The Man Who Loves You the Most, which is the song I picked out for the father-daughter dance, that's the only time I really cried. And number one, I just want to thank my Jewish in-laws for not dropping me. You know, when I was a little worried. Hey, I was a little worried when they tried to pick me up in that chair. And I said I needed all hands on deck, but they didn't drop me. They picked me up about six or seven times, but it was about four in a day. I've had an amazing life, but walking her down the aisle and them not dropping me in the horror, that was the greatest day of my life.
The horror, yeah. Yeah, if you've never been to a Jewish wedding, and growing up, I went to a few, the horror is the highlight. I guess you could compare it to a Greek wedding when everybody gets up and dances on top of everyone. But I've seen some video of it. It was such a small event that only the New York Times did a profile on it, Charles, so no big deal.
Well, you know, Paul, I had very strict rules with the media because it was her day and his day. and they did an interview with the New York Times. I didn't do any press because, you know, Paul, you know, when you're in the limelight, you get way too much credit. Well, first of all, you get way too much blame. But when you're dealing with your family, especially, I wanted that to be her special day, and it was amazing. The weather was perfect. She looked amazing. He's got a great family. He's got a great career. So, hey, it's only been like a month, though, Paul, so I'm always on pins and needles.
Hey, Charles, you know, there's so many famous stories, and you've had some great one-liners about young men who would want to date your daughter, but did he do what you're supposed to do in my religion and so many others, come to the father and ask for permission? And if so, I can only imagine what that scene was like.
Yeah, Paul, you know what's interesting? I had heard about that before. And when it happened, I was kind of in shock. I'm not going to lie. He's like, Mr. Barkley, can I talk to you? I'm like, sure, son, what's going on? He's like, and he starts stuttering a little bit. And he says, can I marry Christiana? And I was in shock, you know, because like I say, I'd heard about that before. I'd never done that before. And you hear from other parents, and it was kind of surreal. And obviously I said yes, but I'm not going to lie. I was kind of in shock when he asked me, but like it was amazing, man. I got goosebumps thinking about it now, but it was pretty special.
Well, congratulations. Let me get to things a little bit closer to home. Auburn has a new football coach. That's not a big surprise. I've been with you enough times at Auburn when there were people bellyaching and stopping you on the street saying, what's going on here, Charles? What's your impression of the new man, Byron, Coach Harsin?
Well, I want to say something first. I want to thank Coach Gus Malzahn for everything he did at Auburn. Gus always treated me great. I wish him nothing but great success down at Central Florida. He's a good man and a good coach. Listen, I got an opportunity to play golf with Coach Harsin today. You know, Paul, I admire the guy. He took the toughest job in sports. I mean, of all the sports. And I'm not saying that to be dramatic or anything. Paul, you know how it is. You got the greatest football coach in history in college football on the other side of the state. Nick Saban, he's the GOAT. What he's accomplished at Alabama is amazing. I always give him credit because he's the greatest football coach ever in college. But our coach, what he did taking that job, I think it's the hardest job in sports. I think it takes tremendous courage for him to leave Boise State. You know, he played at Boise, he grew up there. He could have stayed at Boise State for the next 100 years and won 7-8 games a year and lived happily ever after. But for him to take the challenge to come to the greatest school in the world, Auburn University, and go against the greatest football coach ever, man, my hat is off to this guy. I'm going to support him 110%. I cannot wait for football season to start. But, man, you got to give a guy some credit for taking this job. I mean that sincerely. To take the Auburn job, to go against what they got going over in Tuscaloosa, for him to, like, he believes in himself. He believes in himself, so I'm going to believe in him.
Brian Harsin will join us a little bit later. Charles, before you go, I want to ask you about one of the biggest issues going on right now in intercollegiate athletics, and that's this name, image, and likeness. There's no telling how it would have worked when you were in school with you and Bo and some of the other
people on that campus. Hey, I know how it would have worked. Me and Bo would have made a lot of money. But that being said, first of all, I love all my players in basketball and football. I'm not sure how this name and likeness thing is going to work. I think it's going to cause a lot of issues because you think about this. I was talking to Bo about this earlier. Bo's going to make a lot of money in jerseys. He's probably going to get a car deal. But what about the big, ugly offensive lineman? Nobody's going to be buying their jersey. They're probably not going to get a car deal. Nobody's going to be buying a defensive lineman's jersey. I think it's going to create a lot of resentment among teammates. So I'm really concerned about the name and likeness thing going forward. And let's be realistic. Paul, all these idiots on television like myself, like, well, we got to let these players make all this money. Let's be realistic. This notion that every player on these college teams going to be making a crap load of money is total crap. There's a couple of players on every college sport that's going to make some money. But I think it's not this thing where everybody's going to be making money. I don't agree with that. I really don't. I'm concerned going forward how it's going to work, to be honest with you. But let me tell you my biggest problem with this whole thing, Paul, is I hate when people tell kids getting a free education is nothing. We're only talking about a small percentage of these guys who are going to go pro. We're only talking about a small percentage that's going to make money with name and likeness. But my biggest problem with this whole thing is, Paul, telling young kids, especially young black kids, getting a free education is nothing. I have a big problem with that.
How do you manage it, though, Charles, before you go? Because it's happening, like it or not.
You know, no, Paul, and first of all, I've been asking that question for the last 20 years. And I'm not going to be one of those talking heads on television who act like he knows everything. I don't know what's going to happen. I really don't. I don't know how to do it the right way. I just want the players taken care of. But just saying they can sell their name, image, and likeness, that to me, I just don't know how it's going to work. I wish I could give you, I could say, well, all these kids going to make a lot of money and it's not going to create jealousy. And I just don't know the answer to how to do it, Paul. I really don't.
Charles, thanks so much. We love having you. We love hearing from you. And all the best. And do hope to see you very, very soon.
Hey, Paul, thank you, man. Hey, I'm so proud of your success. Keep doing your thing, man.
Charles, thank you. Thank you very much. Charles Barkley joining us from Greystone. I covered Charles in high school at Leeds High School right outside of Birmingham. It's been amazing to watch his odyssey to where he is today. He's one of the most celebrated and popular people in the world when it comes to entertainment. I mean, there's no doubt. Charles Barkley can walk around any country on any continent and be mobbed. We'll take a break. More to come. So many more guests from Greystone as we continue here on a Wednesday afternoon.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMS.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And welcome back. We've had quite a day already. We just got through talking to Charles Barkley, some very compelling comments about NIL. Tomorrow we'll talk to the Georgia Governor, Brian Kemp, about the signing of new state legislation there. Speaking of that, Coach Kirby Smart from the University of Georgia joining us right now from Greystone. Coach, great to have you back. Before we get to the meaty issues of the day, I hope the day has gone well. You look like you're in one piece.
I am in one piece. I got to play with Commissioner Sankey today, and I will say, Paul, he hit the ball a long way and really straight. It concerns me how much golf he's been playing.
You know, the amazing thing, sometimes you think you know everything. I didn't even know he played golf until today. So he has been hiding that very well, Coach.
Yes, he has. He's talented. We played with Steve Stricker, and he was out driving Stricker. So Sankey might be a closet golfer.
I don't know. I'm not asking for confidences, but when you have the commissioner for – oh, I don't know, 5.5 hours. What is the small talk like?
Well, he's done a great job leading our conference through the pandemic, and there's so many things going on in college football right now. You mentioned it earlier, name, image, likeness, transfers. There's a lot of topics to talk about, but we don't talk shop on the golf course. We save that for the SEC meetings.
If I could ask you about the NIL, because as I mentioned a minute ago, the governor is coming on tomorrow, and I know he's a big fan of yours, and he's a big bulldog, but and nobody knows what's going to happen in 2 months. But how has the University of Georgia and your staff prepared for the inevitable that it is going to happen?
Well, you start with education. You want everybody to understand as much as we can. We don't know the rules we're going to play by, so it's like playing a game that you don't know the rules to. So everybody's kind of on pins and needles. It's an education process. It's a great opportunity for student athletes. Where it goes, I'll be very interested to see, because I'm a little bit more like Charles Barkley, where I don't think everybody is going to be as marketable as some guys. And when it's not equitable, sometimes it's tough.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that because, you know, Charles said that very loudly and boldly a minute ago, but I know coaches have been saying that privately, and I mean, you've got a very talented football team at UGA, but it's obvious some guys are much better known than others, and as a coach, I know you have to deal with that before NIL, and how does that work, and how do you think you're going to be able to deal with it, because that's so important to winning games and ultimately trying to compete for championships for everybody to be on the same page.
Well, it's a little like COVID. The guy that manages that best, manages the egos and the problems or benefits that may come with it, is probably going to be a little bit ahead of the opponent. And we're all trying to manage it as best we can. But right now, we don't know. We don't know enough about how it's going to be enforced, how it's going to be enacted. Is it going to be at the state level, the federal level? We're going to find out in the next coming weeks a lot about our future.
Coach, if I could ask you about the transfer situation, because I know that the athletic directors are having quite a conversation about that right now. You've been on both sides of it. You picked up a player not that long ago, a couple of years ago now, that the SEC allowed. Do you have a preference on whether players should be able to move from within the league or not without sitting out?
Well, it's interesting within the league. I've always believed they have so many opportunities across the country that if they want to go somewhere and play, they can go to, you know, 95% of the colleges they'll have an opportunity to go to. So the interconference has been an interesting debate. I also don't want to penalize the SEC. So if they're able to go within other conferences, we're going to have a tough decision to make. And our presidents and our commissioner, who have a lot of faith in both those groups, to make the right decision when it comes to whether or not they allow interconference transfers. But it's going to be an interesting dynamic because the SEC is a different conference than any other. And the schools are so closely knit that you're going to have kids wanting to go from each school to each school.
Coach, finally, we talked about so many big ticket items, and the one that everyone is also talking about is the portal. And you've had to deal with it. You had to deal with it as an assistant coach. You've had to deal with it, obviously, as a head coach with some very celebrated players. Is there any rule of thumb today in 2021 with so many other side issues going on? to be able to counsel a player. You know, wait. I mean, you had when you played, you knew you had to wait your turn. But today's, I'm not trying to say they're different. Maybe they are. But how do you deal with that issue? Because players now are just bailing out at the drop of a hat.
Be able to handle change at all times. You know, your roster is never complete. Your depth is never complete. I think any coach in the SEC would tell you, you can go from feeling comfortable to uncomfortable really fast with the portal, with kids being able to go into it. And I understand that. That's the rules we play by, so I certainly understand it.
Coach, I know it's been a I mean, you have much longer days on the football field, but I know what it's like to come off a golf course. I'll let you go relax and get out of there. But thanks for coming on. It's always great to see you.
Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it. Go Dawgs.
You got it. You appreciate it. Appreciate it. What a start with Charles Barkley and Kirby Smart. We are off and running. I think you have a pretty good idea of what the template's going to be for the next 3.5 hours. When we come back, the head coach at Auburn, Brian Harsin, joining us after an afternoon with Charles Barkley. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And we welcome all of you back. We are spending a great deal of time today in Hoover, Alabama, where our next guest is. He is Brian Harsin, the new head coach at Auburn University, playing in his first region's tradition. Coach, thank you very much for joining us. We just talked to Charles Barkley, and you spent the day with him. We're all eager to hear how that went.
Well, I'm sure he told you all about it. It was a great time. I also spent time with Bo Jackson today, which was fantastic. Bubba Buzz Polsby, and then David Toms. So it was a great group. We had a great time. Charles got some good coaching points from him, and got a chance to hear from Bo a little bit on some of the things golf-wise that I need to work on. Said I was coachable. So we had a good time, had a great day, great support out here. And everybody at the tournament has just been fantastic. So really appreciate it. And it's just a great day, great opportunity to be out here with the people for a great cause and to play with some really great people.
Coach, we all know and love Charles. And he made some interesting points about you, things that you've heard and things that you obviously know. But when Charles says it, it seems to have a particular resonance. Talking about you grew up there, you played at Boise, and then you left there to take on, in his words, the GOAT of all time. And he said you could have stayed there and had a great life. And it's interesting to think about it. And I'm sure that's no longer in your thought process. But now that you're through your first spring and we're marching toward that season, what are your thoughts on where you are and taking this program forward?
Well, first of all, I'm glad to be at Auburn, number one. And my family, our coaches, their families, we all feel very welcome, and we appreciate that. So the community, Auburn, that Auburn family that people talk about, it's real. So we appreciate that, and we're glad to be here. As far as where we are, getting the 15 practices in, seeing our team through spring, now having a chance to go back and look at what we did, look at where we're going as June opens up. A lot of things are going to happen in June. We know that official visits, there's going to be camps, people on campus, and then really the focus of our team. We still have our development in the weight room that we've got to get back to. We've got to continue to build this team. We've got a lot of work as far as just the practices that the players will run in the summer to continue our development as we get into August. And as long as our mentality is that we'll continue to work, that we'll keep pushing ourselves each and every day to get better, then we'll make the progress we need. Hopefully we can hit some checkpoints along the way and be ready for August. And that's really what our focus is when it comes to summertime, is making sure that when August hits and we start getting ready in fall camp, we're preparing for a season. There's changes, new players will come in, new faces, new opportunities, and as long as our coaches, team will continue to work, then I feel like we have a plan in place that will put us in a position to get back in fall camp, get all together, start our process moving forward towards the season.
Coach, if we could get specific on your team and everyone where you are, because he's from that area, knows and loves Bo Nix. Can you comment on your now no longer first impressions? You've seen him play in the bowl game. You've seen him play through spring. How is he adapting to your system, and how are you adapting to him?
Well, I think Bo's a hard worker. That's the first thing, and I love that about any player that I get a chance to coach. And he does it in the weight room. He does it on the practice field. He does it in the film room. And that's really all we ask from every single guy on our team. You're willing to come in here and work hard, at bettering yourself, developing yourself at this craft, and especially at the quarterback position. You want guys that work hard. I think he's very tough. And he showed that through spring. He's been through now three different offenses, and you know, he's willing to learn. He's opened up his heart. He's been in there every day with Coach Bobo. We have a chance to be together and prepare ourselves for the practices. He pushes himself at practice. He's coachable when he's on the field. And like any good player, he's working to get better every single day. And I appreciate that approach. But the work ethic, the attitude, and just that mindset of wanting to get better, that's always appreciated by, you know, our staff and everybody that's on this football team. And Bo does that every single day. And reminds me of a lot of guys that I've had a chance to be around that just are striving to get better and improve themselves and be coachable along the way. And he's got all those qualities. So for me, that's what you hope every player that you get to work with has. And you have an opportunity to work with guys like that. You know, there's going to be an opportunity to get better. And that's really what the focus has been with him, and I appreciate that from him.
Chatting with Coach Brian Harsin of Auburn. Coach, I would like to ask you about your coaches for a second. You mentioned Mike Bobo. You also hired Derek Mason. These are two well-thought-of coordinators in the past, former head coaches as well. Some coaches come into a program, and they tend to bring the people that they're most comfortable with, their former staff. And I know that everyone has a different approach, and you have some of that. But your path to Coach Bobo and Derek Mason, I think, is very interesting. And a lot of people have commented on just how balanced that staff is. What are your thoughts, and how did you come to those conclusions?
Well, those two coaches in particular, number one, respect was a big part of it. I got a chance to watch Coach Mason when he was at Stanford, and I got to follow him as he went to be the head coach at Vanderbilt. I got a chance to get to know Mike Bobo when he was at Georgia and I was at Texas. And we shared similar philosophies on developing the quarterback, and then getting a chance to compete against him every year in the Mountain West when he was at Colorado State. And so, you know, respect for what they do, respect for the way they do it. And as I got to know them as people, that was really the most important thing to me. I like them. I think they're good men. I know they're very good at what they do. I was excited to work with them. And now have the chance to be around them, to watch how they develop and lead their side of the ball, there's no doubt. We got the right two coaches in those positions. And we've had a really good opportunity through spring to get a chance to see some of the differences that I've done, they've done, and really come together and put those ideas into what's best for Auburn. And so just the low ego, high output is much appreciated, and I would say that's the rest of our staff is very much like that. Our number one goal is Auburn. How do we continue to make that better each and every day? And those guys are bought into that, and that just trickles down to our players. If the staff can work that way, we can work that way as a team, and it starts at the top. And Coach Mason, Coach Bobo, those guys have led. They've proven that through these practices. They've proven that through their careers, and I'm looking forward to our continuation through summer, how we develop this team together.
Coach, before you go, I would like to ask you about two of the bigger issues that college sports is facing, and the commissioner of the SEC, arguably the most influential person in the sport, is joining us in a few minutes. But first, the conversation last week about the expansion of the CFP. Certainly, coming from your former job, you probably had one view in the SEC, maybe a different view. But what do you think, and do you support the expansion from 4 to 8, 12, 16, whatever they're going to end up with?
Well, that's been a topic of conversation for a while now, and I would support that. I think ultimately it'll head that direction. And I've said this before, I've always felt like any team that has won all their games should have a chance to play for it all. And whether that's a 4-game, 6-game, 8-game model, whatever that model is, as long as it stays within the time frame where our student athletes have a chance when the season ends, there's a break, there's also going to be a little bit of time where they have a chance to just decompress. And so I always think that's the balance there is how much does that season lead into the next school semester and back into the work that you're going to do. We're kind of doing that now with the national championship game, but I think we'll head that direction at some point. But it's going to continue to be a conversation, and there's going to continue to be various opinions on that. But if that's the model that we work towards in the future, and that is going to give us the best teams to play for the championship at the very end, then that's the model we'll support. And the goal is just to be in it at the end of the day.
And finally, Charles Barkley was here a minute ago, Coach. And like all of us, we don't know what NIL will end up at, but he's a little concerned about how it's going to change the dynamics of a football team. Hasn't happened yet, but what are your thoughts on where we're going with that soon?
Well, I know we're going that direction, and that's a conversation that's ongoing with our staff. I know it's ongoing amongst college coaches right now, and it's hard to tell exactly what that means for each program. I think it's going to come back to each program and how that pertains to what they're trying to accomplish. What does that mean for their players? What does that mean for that model that they're trying to establish in their program? And then what's the best way to help these young players develop themselves? And this is another avenue that we're going to have to go down. And programs will. I just think the most important thing is the players that you bring in, the people that you bring into your program, they're coming there for a reason. They fit. And they feel like this is going to be the right opportunity for them and their future. And what I've always believed is if you got the right people and you're developing them in the right way, the right things will happen. Those opportunities, they're going to show themselves. And there'll be chances to go and capitalize on some of that. But at the end of the day, that model, that team, that type of atmosphere, I think we all got to just understand that that's an important factor in the sport that we play, and that's why it's the greatest team sport, in my opinion, there is, because of the people that you bring in, the way that you develop your program, the 11 guys get a chance to go out there and be on the field and play, and how you prepare yourselves leading up to a season and 15 games. It's there's nothing like it. So we're going to work through those things. I don't have the answer for you. I know they're coming. But at the end of the day, I think every program's got to be able to do it their way. And the right people that are in their program, when that happens, it'll work out like it needs to.
Coach, really appreciate you coming by. It's always good to visit. Hope to see you soon. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Always fantastic to talk to Coach Brian Harsin, the new coach at Auburn University. The commissioner of the SEC will join us in a couple of minutes, Greg Sankey. He certainly has been working on all the topics that we've spoken to our guests about. We'll take a short break and talk to one of LSU's finest right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip. Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And we welcome you back. It is great to have you here. And we rush back to Greystone, where our friend David Toms joining us, the former PGA champion, great LSU great. Son played, I don't know if he's, maybe he's still playing there. David, great to see you. Thank you so much. What's been going on?
Paul, it's just good to be back on with you after, our year off last year. So just good to be back here in Birmingham and here at Regents and playing the Pro-Am today. You had a great day with some Auburn friends. And, you know, it's good to be getting back to normal for us as tour players. As you can probably hear in the background, there's quite a few people out supporting the event. Today's a big day with Regents and all their guests and celebrities. And this is another great Pro-Am day.
Now, David, we know, you know, Barkley and Bo played with Coach Harsin, and everybody tries to play with their. I remember Spurrier used to play with DeMarco all the time. Does Coach O play golf?
If he does, it's probably not very well. So, like I said, I got stuck with a bunch of Auburn greats today and Coach Harsin, and had a great day with them. It was a lot of fun, a lot of War Eagle going on out there. And I told them all, I said, I pull for them every week this next season except for one. And they knew which one that was.
Now, I played a lot of rounds of golf with Barkley in the past. So when before he became an international star, I played with Bo once or twice. And Bo is scary on the golf course. I mean, how hard he hits the ball. But I'm curious because some of my friends told me that Barkley's game has improved. Barkley told us that.
Yeah, I mean, I was shocked. In fact, Bo was shocked as well after his first tee shot today and said he was really worried about how Charles was going to play. And before we teed off, Charles said, Stan Utley's got me out of this hitch. And he goes, I'm playing great. And he played really solid all day. And it was good to see, you know, somebody like that that can enjoy the game. I mean, he loves to play. He's great for golf. He does a lot of our events and is around the game. And so you want a guy like that that loves the game so much to be able to enjoy it. And he's got his swing in such a spot now where he can go out and play and have fun.
I'm tempted to ask you about these Pro-Am rounds, but I realize how important they are to the tour sponsors. But I used to play golf a lot, and I've had some of the biggest names on the tour look at me and go, where did you find that guy? I said, don't worry about him. He's only the sponsor of the tournament. And that was 20 years ago. What are these rounds like? I mean, I'm sure you think about your own game last, don't you?
Well, I mean, that's the way you have to approach it. You've got to know that it's very important to the tournament, the success of the event, and I always enjoy it. I mean, like today, we talk nonstop just about sports in general. I mean, obviously, we talk football, we talk baseball, we talk basketball, and just had a great day. And before you know it, the day's over. It's almost like we wish we could continue because we had so much fun, and the fans were engaging today. Charles and Bo and Coach, they just engage with everybody out there, and so everybody will remember the day. And it's a very important, it's probably the most important day of the week for the tournament. Obviously for the pros it's not, but I enjoy it. I enjoy meeting people, enjoy giving back to the sponsor that means so much to us. And today is a day that I'll remember forever, being able to play with those guys.
Well, you've played with some of the most famous people in the world, but it's hard to get a better combo than what you had with Bo and Barkley. I had to cover those two guys when they were in college, so you can imagine what that was like. David, look forward to seeing you very, very soon. Thanks for squeezing us in, and we will definitely see you when we're there next year.
Paul, I appreciate you having me on and always what you do for the SEC, and it's always fun watching you, so thank you.
Thanks so much, David Toms. And we're back with a couple more hours after this.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.